Hey, if you enjoy this show or have learned anything from it, would you take a minute and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts? I know most of you listen on Apple, so right now, go to the show, scroll to the bottom of the page, and give us a star rating, or better yet, leave us a review and we'll feature it right here on the show. It helps us to know you're listening and we'd really appreciate it. All right, on to the episode. Hey there, welcome to the Work From Home Voice Actor Podcast. Whether you're a regular listener or have recently decided to tag along with us here, thank you for joining us. And I hope we can offer some tips and strategies that help you in your VO journey. I'm Melanie Scroggins. I'm a fellow voice actor and your motivational guide through the world of VO. In this show, we talk about all things voiceover, and I answer your questions about the industry and how you can be successful working from home as a voice actor. This episode, I have the lovely audiopreneur extraordinaire Andrea Collins on the podcast to talk about her VO journey, how she manages being a mom and running her business, and how the old ways are just that, old. As well as some amazingly helpful tips that will give you a leg up in today's voiceover landscape. Andrea is an award-winning voiceover artist, working with everyone from Google, Facebook, Dove, Burt's Bees, and more. She's had an incredible career in radio, working her way up to the top of the industry. She also hosts the Lego Art Soundtracks podcast and is the creator of the Voiceover Profit Masterclass, How to Succeed in the Modern VO World. Okay, without further ado, here's my conversation with Andrea. Andrea, I am so excited to have you on the show. I had initially connected with you two or three years ago, because you are this badass lady VOpreneur. And I didn't see many of those badass or ladypreneur VOpreneurs. And so I got really excited. And then I found your podcast and kind of learned a little about you and your journey. So I am super excited to share more about you and what you're up to and where you're headed in your VO journey with our listeners. So thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Long overdue.
Yes, long overdue. Well, before we dive into some of the kind of nitty gritty stuff that I know people want to hear about, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I am Andrea Collins, full-time voiceover artist and coach. I'm a mom. I have a three-year-old and another one on the way.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's cooking.
A little boy. I'm just finding this out. I'm super excited for you. We have our little boy and he's awesome.
I'm so happy for you guys. Yeah. So little boy coming in January. I got my 12-year-old dog, Sophie. My daughter's name is Sadie and my dog's name is Sophie. So people constantly interchange them.
We have Theo and Leo are cats. So that's a lot of fun.
I never thought about it. And then now it happens and people get so embarrassed. I'm like, seriously, don't worry about it. I didn't think about that. Like you, super obsessed with the outdoors. I have an amazing husband, Steve. We live in Canada. Recently moved from Toronto to Ottawa. That's our nation's capital. And I've been doing voiceover for probably about 15 years. And then full time for just about 4 years. Yeah, it's been a rush. It's been awesome.
That's so cool. So we have very similar like trajectories as far as like our businesses, because I went pro 3 years ago. So we're right there with each other. And another thing that I think is super cool, and I'll stop talking about myself, is that you and I have podcast backgrounds as well. So we're kind of audiophiles, which is really fun and no surprise to me as to how we've connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Anything that involves a voice, radio, podcast, all of that.
You're the queen.
It's our jam.
I mean, let's just say it. You're kind of the queen.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Now.
Yes. Okay. So the question that everyone is always interested in, because a lot of beginners listen to this show, people who haven't even really started out yet, they're just kind of like dipping their toe in the water.
Yeah.
How did you get started in voiceover? So you've got this audio background, but what kind of led you to voiceover and what's that journey been like for you?
Cool. Well, I'm sure a lot of people, if they've listened to other voiceover podcasts and heard professionals being interviewed, a common beginning is starting in broadcasting. So about 18 years ago, oh my God, I started in radio. And when you're done your radio shift, you go and you actually, you go after your shift and you voice commercials for the station. And there's always an in-house producer, and that person's probably been working there for a long time. And so I was coached by these guys of how to read a spot, how to hit the mark of 15 seconds or 30 seconds, and, you know, mic technique and sort of the arc in a delivery. And so that was my real beginning. When my first radio job, I was like 20. And I was working for this rock station as like their cruiser girl, but I figured out a way.
Awesome.
So lame. I'd go out to like football games and give out Mountain Dew and be like, hey, yeah. It's Andrea. I'm at the, yeah. Anyway, but I worked out this deal that when the summer was over, I could come into the station once a week and voice commercials for them. And so I really started reading all types of commercials and getting really comfortable in the studio. So that's kind of where that came from. As my career progressed in radio, was still doing commercials, but then started doing imaging. You know, I was working for iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. I would do imaging for their stations, for some of the television stations we owned. And I would just continue to do that voiceover. But then that's when I started working with an agent, and just really became a professional. That was probably about a decade ago, but I was still working full-time in radio. Wow. And so I was making an income in voiceover, but like it wasn't a priority to really pursue it because I still had this other job that in my mind at the time was really what I was going for.
Yeah.
But I always knew there was this untapped potential in the voiceover department. And people would say, well, you know, why aren't you doing more? And I was like, well, I'm a radio person. I want to do this. And then in 2018, I was laid off from my radio job, which was a blessing in disguise. I'm a real believer in everything happens for a reason. And so, you know, I found out I was pregnant like a month later with my daughter, Sadie. And so it was a matter of time to just figure it out. Like, how am I going to... Like, I'm not going to go back into radio at this point because I'm pregnant. No one's going to hire me. And then I would have to go on maternity leave. So extra reason for no one to want to hire me. And so I just started grinding at the voiceover stuff. And that's kind of my background. And here we are now.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is so interesting to me, especially the timeline of how all that happened, because then we had, you know, like 2020, right? So radio, I don't know how it would have worked like in the office for you to go in regardless. And yet you still had this thing that you could do from home that you were already working on. I don't know. I think that's really interesting as far as the timeline. And I'm a firm believer too. Everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that happened in your journey because you are fantastic. You're nice. Really good at what you do. I'm super excited to talk more with you about just like how you have built your business and making it work for you, which I think is such a hard, it's a hard thing for people to think about, especially when you're first starting in any new industry, probably because it's new and you feel like you have to kind of start out like agreeing and following all of the rules just so you fit in to then be able to do your thing. And one thing you have done that has been extremely appealing to me is you started out by saying, no thanks. Like, I can figure this out myself. Mm-hmm. So before we get really into that, because I'm super excited to talk about that, all of our days look different. So whether you're a freelancer or independent contractor, like your day isn't 9 to 5 usually. What does your typical workday look like right now? Like, you've got Sadie, you've got this new baby on the way, like, and you're married, like you've got all of these different life things happening. How do you kind of make all that work together?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so wake up. Fight my child to get dressed and out the door, like, you know, the wrestling of like, just put on your shirt kind of thing. That's usually done around 8:30 or 9 when she leaves for daycare. Bless daycare. Okay, and then I get to work. Okay, so then I do, this is my order, auditions, revisions, jobs. And so I kind of do that cycle, I would say 3 times a day. Auditions, revisions, jobs. So I'll come into my studio and I'll look at what is on the plate when it comes to auditions. Mm-hmm. And I'll clear out the ones that have like way too many people that have already auditioned or they're mm-hmm. kind of old. Mm-hmm. And then I'll crank out auditions. That's my biggest sit down and do auditions session of the day. Generally, I might do about 15 of them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Depending on the day. You know, some days yeah. it's like you're getting going a little bit later or mm-hmm. whatever. Then revisions, because I don't want to leave people hanging too long. I know they all want it yesterday. And then the jobs that I've gotten overnight or the day before, I'll work on those. And then I usually just need a little bit of a voice break. So I'll walk the dog, I'll make a green smoothie, whatever. And then I kind of come back in that order to that auditions, revisions, jobs. So as the auditions have been replenished during the day, I'll do that. And then same for if a job has come in, yada, yada, yada. I find my busiest audition sessions are morning and end of day before Sadie comes back home. She's usually home around 4:30 or 5. I go get her. And that's about it. It's very rare I work in the evenings unless someone's like, I need this now and it's this budget. And I'm like, okay. but otherwise, I try to leave it till the following morning. So I'm pretty much on a 9 to 5 now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find that's typical. You know, clients are working during that time and they're from all over the world. So it just kind of makes sense to be available during that time, especially for exactly what you're saying, auditions, revisions, and jobs. Because the other stuff, you know, I kind of explain this to beginners as well. Like, don't worry about your website. Don't worry about getting back to emails like pronto. Like, it's these things that need to be handled first. And then those things are kind of nice add-ons for whenever you get the time or schedule it in. But I would imagine when you first started, when you know, we're laid off at your job and we're starting and saying, okay, well, let's try this voiceover thing. Your schedule probably looked a little different at that time. There was no Sadie. There was kind of like, you know, the world is your oyster as far as what your day looked like. So when you tell your story, the one thing that resonates with me is that you wanted to do your business on your terms. And what a difference like that made in your success as a voice actor. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit more about when you first got started and then how that kind of led you to this business on your terms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna use my starting point as more like the 2017, like 4 or 5 years ago thing when I was like, okay, let's get this rolling already. What I have figured out along the way is there is the way people say it's supposed to be, like the order you're supposed to do things and the things you got to buy and the coaching you need. And then there's the way it actually is. I'm going to go ahead and say that a lot of advice and a lot of, I don't want to sound mean, but like coaches are stuck in the like 80s and things have changed. Oh my God, things have changed. And there's these notions that it's bad if you're on a pay-to-play site or you need a fancy demo or this fancy microphone. And like, oh my God, you so don't. what you need is this. You need a decent computer. You need a decent microphone. And you need a good space to record in.
Yep.
But that doesn't have to be some fancy whisper room. Mm-mm. It can be your closet with pillows and blankets or whatever in it. I was well into a six-figure career still doing that on a like old computer and a USB mic.
Yep.
No one knew. No, I still use my USB mic when I travel. I don't carry around this giant rig.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows. It's It's this whole thing, but you gotta work on your greatest tool, which is your voice and your delivery.
Yeah.
So the way that I was thinking it was before was get agents, sit around, get them to bring you the auditions and the sweet jobs that like you only have to do a handful of a year, and Bob's your uncle. Okay, so that wasn't working. So the shift was get set up. Get the mic in the whatever, get in my closet, and I rejoined voices.com. I initially joined in 2012. I had like some moderate success, but again, I was like on the radio trajectory and I just totally stopped doing it, nor did I put in the time and effort that was needed to really get it rolling. Man, do I regret that. So when I returned to it in 2017, 2018, with a different perspective, I went in like this. Okay, I'm going to do as many auditions as I can. I'm going to optimize my profile with demos that are not professionally made, but I can use them as a tool to get a better job match. because that's what it's also all about, at least on voices.com, is having some demos on your site so you get those matches. So when you audition, you're closer to the top of the pile. Anyway, we can get into that later. And it was basically just auditioning on pay-to-play sites. And so once things really got working on Voices and I started to see success and I started to fine-tune my profile, yada, yada, I then added Voice123 into the mix, which I was glad I did that second, because that comes then with like kind of needing to invoice and figure out different ways to accept payment, where, you know, Voices kind of does all that for you. And then, you know, it was just like, then in a day I had more auditions. So I had more jobs. So I had more clients. And then it was, okay, now I have direct clients. So now I'm doing the auditions and I got the direct client. And it just like turned into like, oh my God, okay, we're doing this now. And so that's the direction I advise people go. Don't try to get an agent. People come to me. They're like, do I need a fancy demo? And I'm like, no, you totally don't. just start auditioning. And I've seen a lot of people have great success in doing that as well and sort of destroying the notion of what they thought it should be.
Ooh, I like that. Destroying the notion of what people told you it should be or you think it should be, which just goes to show like kind of how old school people are, because those two things end up being the same thing. It's like I remember when I first started, started getting into it. So I was like, this was like 2018, 2019. So like, you know, not that long ago. And I remember listening to a podcast and the host was like, this is voiceover specific. And he said, I tell beginners, like, be prepared to spend at least $10,000 to get like a real foot in the door for voiceover. And I was like, wait, what did he just say? Like, I was blown away, one, because that's an extremely, like, terrifying thing to share with people who are interested. Like, to me, it's like, it's one of two things. It's like, I've been here long enough and I've earned my keep and now you have to do that too, which is total BS. You do not have to. If you're good and you're better than them, go and be better than them because things have changed and like what clients are wanting has changed. So that always bothered me. It's kind of like it felt like a bully approach, probably because it was coming from a middle-aged white man. And I was like, yeah, I don't really need to keep hearing what you think and have to say. I'm going to find other resources. And honestly, that's when I came across you. And I was like, okay, like, not only do I resonate way more with what she's saying, this has actually been true for me. So I had like this kind of instinct and then what was actually going on at the very beginning of my career. And you were just like reiterating that to me and we didn't even know each other. And like just now hearing your story, I'm like, yeah. Like that's been true for me. So there's a lot of weight there. I call us like the new wave of voice actors because we're able to do this at home/anywhere, right? Home is anywhere. And even back in the day, like talking about demos, this is kind of an aside, but I've thought about this too. Like demos used to be just a collection of voice actors' work and we've turned it into like the pedestal of voice acting. And like I get it to an extent, but if you're a beginner and you don't have anything, like, what are you supposed to do, right? Oh, you just can't be a voice actor. I don't like that answer because I believe there's a lot of talent and we need so much diversified talent now that I could go on forever about it. It really just bothers me because I feel like it's a bullying thing and it's a control thing.
Yeah, let's talk about demos. Okay, so if you're a beginner, I advise that you get on one of the pay-to-plays and you don't even need a demo. You just need to upload, let's say you do an audition, you thought you nailed it, upload that as a demo, maybe change the client name, you know, I don't know, and then just upload it as a demo. And then you make sure you're checking all the keywords, you know, let's say it's a e-learning one. Okay, great. That took you 10 minutes. Now do another one, do a narration or a children's book or something like that and try to get like 10 of them. Yeah. And then like, I have a commercial demo. Do people even listen to it? No, people are listening to the demos on these pay-to-plays, your auditions for the jobs. They're very rarely going to your page to listen to those demos, maybe to double check if they want to hire you or not.
Sure.
But for the most part, you're just auditioning for the jobs and that's all the audio they're hearing of you. So you don't need the professional demo. Yeah. Because you know what? If you get an agent, it's not going to change your life, because then then there's a whole bunch of really great talent on that roster that you still have to audition for those jobs. Like you're not just handed jobs once you get an agent. It very rarely works like that. Yeah. So that's my first thought on the demos. Second thought is, you and I were talking about this off air, is that I've never had a professional demo made. Now, I was lucky enough to work, I've been working editing audio for a long time in a basic way. I'm not an audio producer per se, but I have a good grasp on it. So I would just take spots that I'd done, take edit little snippets of them. And then if I was missing something, I'd voice a pretend commercial. I'd grab some audio off of YouTube or whatever. I'd lay it down underneath, boop, 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 put them all together. There's my little commercial demo. And it's worked out like fine. Like I have a great, very busy career, and that's what I've done. And so now I actually am getting a professional demo made, which I'm kind of doing it kicking and screaming because I'm such a non-believer in this. But the reason I'm doing it is because I'm like, okay, Andrea, you're a big girl now. You're a professional voiceover artist. Let's just see what this is all about. You know, like I've allocated a certain amount of money I'm going to use every year to grow my business. And with doing this demo comes with it potentially some built-in connections. So I'm more doing it for those connections as well, because if this demo, what I'm paying for, it gives me one job through one of those connections, then it was worth it. So I'm just sort of looking at it in a business way rather than a necessity. And I hope everybody listening hears me on that. Like, go look at successful voiceover artists on Voices, Voice123. Look at their profiles and listen to their demos, all of them, and just see what they've done. Chances are they've got all these little ones everywhere, and that's all you really need to do.
Yeah, that's actually – so there's two things there that I want to talk about. One, that's a really good piece of insight. Make sure that you are thinking about all that your their tools, all these tools that you're adding to your business is actually for your business and what you believe will help you to be more successful, because – if it's not, then you don't need it. So if someone tells you need it, that's irrelevant if you don't actually need it. So be paying attention to those things. And the second thing is you can look up other talent on voices.com, or I'm not sure about other pay-to-plays. Can you on Voice123?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So you can look up other talent and see what the demos that they've put on there. And like Andrea said, listen to all of them. Like, pick one that you think, well, I mean, one, they've got reviews, they're tried and true, people have been using them, they're active on the site, and see what they've been doing. You're going to get a lot of ideas, especially for when you go and make your little demos, or, you know, those auditions. Maybe give, and I always do this, I always go and listen to other people's demos on their websites or on voices.com just for inspiration. We work and live so siloed now that I think we just kind of get stuck in whatever we're doing when we have the internet at our disposal. Like, we use it for work, but we don't think of using it in those ways. And like, there's nothing wrong with going and listening to someone's demo and being like, oh, wow, like they have a really great voice. Oh, wow, I love their delivery on this. Like, it always gives me a ton of inspiration.
Yeah. And like, not in a way that's like, oh, I wish I could be do, you know, just in a way of like, what did they do there? Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Why do you think, is it another gatekeeper thing? Like, why people talk poorly about pay to play sites?
I think it's because they haven't had any success on them.
Yes, that's what I always say. I always say, oh, well, you just haven't had success. Because if it's going to make you money, you're not going to be talking about it like this.
Yeah. So that's my honest take.
Yes.
Why do people hate on them? I don't know, because they look at them as the big bad giant that's here to ruin the industry. They look at them as like a scary corporation who's trying to change the whole thing. Whereas I don't know what's going to happen down the road, but the way I'm looking at it now is it's the place where I pay a certain amount of money every year and I get access to like a bajillion jobs to audition for. Yep. I don't have to go out and hunt these clients down. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell people all about me in hopes that someday they're going to need voiceover, right. Which I'm not saying those are bad things to do. I think it's a nice way to complement your business. But this is like, people are going there because they want a voiceover like now. Yeah. So that's the, why wouldn't you be there? That just feels crazy to me. Why wouldn't you be there? And some people will hate on them too, because they're like, oh, well, you know, let's say Voices, they don't really want you to strike up a one-on-one relationship with them outside of the platform. So that probably scares some people off. Some ways I like to look at it is, look, they're handling all of the business side for you. They're sourcing the client. They're taking 20%. That's the same thing I give my agent. And they're handling the money. They're making sure you get paid. That money's in escrow. You know, like, so there are some things you're paying for in that percentage. You just have to look at it as a cost of doing business. So that's why I think people hate on them. And are some better than others? Some platforms? Yeah, they are. And are there still some that I have yet to try? Yes. But I think that go with the busiest ones, which I think is Voices and Voice 123.
Yeah. To me, they're the new agent, because I'm not needing to send in my demo to this one place, maybe to never hear back from them. They're giving me all of the things that I would ask for from an agent, again, taking the same percentage or similar. And I have a much higher chance of actually getting hired and paid for something than I would with an agent. So it's like the new, it's like agent 2.0, but better and more efficient.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. I have thought about it like that as well. So I appreciate you sharing that. So, okay, let's say we're using voices.com. I use voices.com, you use voices.com. It is the largest voiceover marketplace, pay to play site. What are some tips that you have, or a tip that you have come across as you've been using it over the past few years? And what would you recommend to beginners?
Okay. Well, yeah, I kind of shared a couple of those. I'm going to revisit them, but maybe with a little bit more depth. So I would say, some people that I coach, they're like, why aren't I getting any jobs? And my first question is, how many auditions do you do a day? And they're like, 5. And I'm like, that's not enough.
That's not enough.
You've got to do as many as you can. And so that can probably feel a little overwhelming hearing me say that. So then that means you have to speed it up. So that means you need to get a little bit more proficient in editing and reading a script, not doubting yourself so much. Don't do like a million takes. Sit down, do a couple takes, maybe pick the best one. Upload it. That's it. Move on to the next one. Now, that's very fast for me to do it. I usually do an audition in 90 seconds, 2 minutes. It depends what I need to do. Do I need to watch a Vimeo? Do I need to, you know, download this 10 things? Whatever. That might take a bit longer. But so aim to get fast at it so you can do 15 to 20 a day. Some of the most successful people on, I'm just going to use Voices as an example. They're doing, I know for a fact that the most successful user is doing like 50 auditions a day, because they've figured out it's numbers. It's a numbers game. And like, I do a lot of them too. And I'm up there on the leaderboard. Sometimes I'm the third, sometimes I'm this. That's because I'm doing a lot of auditions. And so Voices gives you that statistic of your booking, right? If you're booking 1 in 8, okay, well then how many auditions do you have to do to, you know, get more jobs? So that's nice that they also provide those statistics. So, okay, so that's the main thing. Auditions, auditions, auditions. Do a lot of them. Listen back to your auditions. See the ones that have gotten liked, because that tells you something. And then also with each job that is posted, you get a job match percentage. And that is based on how your demos. So if you have a demo, okay, I'm looking at this job right now. It says insurance explainer video. It's in the video narration category, English North American. They want real person, believable conversation, middle-aged and female. So this is coming in for me at 100% job match, because I have a demo that checks all of those boxes. So right there is what you need to do. So you want to make sure that every audition that's coming in is at 100%, 100% job match. Because let's say 20 people audition for a job and that they've gotten ahead of you. But let's say all of them only had a voice match of like 80%, but you had 100%. And even though you got in further down the line, you're going to be higher at the top of the pile that the client sees because you had 100% voice match. So you want to optimize your demos and put as many on there as you can.
That is just gold, absolute gold.
And I know. Even
though I've been doing that, I still have ideas just from what you said. So I'm going to go do that after this. But oh my gosh, how it's interesting to me, like when you have like a different, we have different stories and different timelines and all that kind of thing, but they're similar enough to where even from my experience, like everything you have said has been so true for me. My daily target is 15 to 20 auditions. That is my first thing I do every single day. That's just been from working in the wild. What I mean is like you eventually pick up on trends just by doing the work. But if you're not doing the work, you're not going to see these trends. You're going to, if you continue to doubt yourself, which is a huge thing that I talk about with beginners as well, like it's fine. Okay, fine. Let yourself, what I forget who says it, but like give yourself 5 seconds, Mel Robbins, give yourself 5 seconds to feel that thing and move on. Like from a performance aspect is not helpful. And voiceover is performance. Like, yes, have fun with it. Yes, it's a business, but like it is performance because of the acting element, because of what the client specifically is looking for. It just is. So you've got to kind of figure out a way to kind of put on your big person pants and like get over it. And I say that with love. I don't say that with, I mean, because we've done it. I still sweat in live sessions. I still have my first take be super fast. And they're like, that was fast. I'm like, yeah. You know, so I mean, it just happens. But you still get in there and you do the work. But you can't get the work unless you audition. You have to continuously show up.
Yeah. One thing I learned from my long radio career that is if you say something stupid, as long as it's not really offensive, people don't care. People don't care. It's like what you're wearing. You're like, oh, we all get wrapped up in what we're wearing.
Yep.
No one cares. You know what I mean? Like, so when you're doing auditions and you're like, did I do that there or did I do that? It's like, chances are no one even knows what you're talking about. And you just need to move on. Don't get too in your head. That's like a mantra for life.
Absolutely. Key takeaway. Do not get too stuck in your head.
Yeah.
Well, Andrea, you have just like, I mean, any beginner listening to this, you're going to have to go back and listen because this is full of just golden nuggets and wisdom from being on the job, folks. I hate to even ask, but I just, if any other tidbits I can get from you, I'm like, okay, let's mine it, right? Is there any other tip or piece of advice that you'd say to that beginner who is questioning their auditions, who may not even be auditioning besides what we've already talked about? Like, what would you tell that person?
You got to get better at your conversational read.
Mm-mm.
That's like people I coach and the people who reach out to me. That's what they want to know how to tweak. That's what they want to know how to master. And it is the one you really should try to work on because it's the one, the job category with the most jobs. Voices.com gave me some data a while ago that like that category, the believable conversational category, they have the majority of their jobs going into that category because that's what people want. So you really want to make sure you're getting that right. And even though it's believable conversational, air quotes, real person, it's one of the hardest to achieve.
It is so hard. And it sounds different to everyone. Like I've even been in live sessions with clients, live sessions. They've already hired me. They know what I'm sounding like. They know how I'm delivering it. And the delivery ends up sounding, I mean, it's a 180 from what they claimed that they wanted. And so for people listening, like you can only go off of what people tell you or ask for. So if you're really confused, I always say, give them what they're asking for. Give them how you would read it just to give variety. Who knows? But yeah, it is extremely popular and extremely difficult. But if you can nail it, you will have a ton of success.
And that's actually been the main tool in my toolbox of my career that really my career skyrocketed at this kind of same time that this became the delivery. So on my site, I coach as well, just like you, Melanie. I have 20 secrets to master your modern conversational read. It's a video tutorial that I did of like 20 of them that super duper work. And so anybody right now can go to andreaconsulting.com. You just kind of like scroll down a little on the main page and you're going to see get the live coaching session instantly. And that's where you can get the 20 tips for your conversational read, which I highly recommend.
And it's AndreaCollinsConsulting.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, great. And we'll link it in the show notes so y'all can go directly there and click on that. Andrea, I truly can't thank you enough for spending the time and talking with us. Like she mentioned, she does offer coaching, so please just go check out her stuff. Again, I'll be linking it in the show notes. But I'm actually talking with you now, but I have learned so much from you, from your podcast. Like, that's where I started and where I first got connected with you. So you're just a wealth of information, and I really appreciate you sitting and talking with us today.
That's so great. And the podcast will be coming back. Yay! Took a little break. It's just been like, there's just been so many things going on.
But I know.
Now I'm like, especially pre-second kid, I'm just going to like get so much done over the next 3 months so I can get nothing done in the few months after that.
Like you should. My goodness.
Exactly. Well, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you want to connect with Andrea or learn about her VO coaching or courses in more detail, all the links are in the show notes. Thanks for listening. Until next time.